Good morning, family.
Good morning.
Might want to adjust that just a little bit. So we do the VBS stuff. Did this one get turned off, honey? Okay. All of our adjustments are off. our slideshow's over here. The projector is a little wonky. The sound levels are kind of whatever. So bear with it. Peace and mercy on all of us. my voice is a little dry. I was down at the Methodist Church this morning, and they said to say hello to you. So I filled in for Pastor Gene and was able to share this message with them. And it was good. They're in a good place. I didn't get all the details of what the next steps are, but what they did announce during their prayer and praise time was they're going to have a going away party for Gene. So that's part of the process. I'm just not sure what the timetable is and what the next steps are on what's going to happen with the church. I'll find out some more when I get a chance to talk to Gene. VBS was crazy. I sat back there where Aaron sits and got to observe, and I got to watch Linda and Laura Kay and Nancy and Di just have a lot of fun. And it was just great to watch them kind of just get together and do their stuff and have fun. Watching the kids, oh my gosh, Sarah Lynn helping out, and the little ones came in at the end there, and it was just nice to sit there and watch ministry happen, and how much, and I know how much goes into getting that thing ready and getting it to go, and Carrie makes it seem so easy, but you know what that is? That's her working in her giftedness, and that's where she's called, and that's what she loves to do with kids. And if you haven't picked that up by now, you must be blind. So she loves kids. I got the duct tape and the Velcro when I deal with kids in my classroom. So, you know, they're like this. No, I'm only kidding. But it's been a good week. It's a long week. So let's take some time and rest and relax, ladies, for all your help. Thank you. And Brenda was there. I don't know if you saw her in that picture. They had the tables a little set up here. And so the kids had to serve. And so it was a... It demonstrates the words and what the verses mean. And I just remember watching, and Brenda was having a lot of fun. Thanks, Ray, for letting us borrow her and for all the other leaders in here. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and we'll get started. I'm getting a lot of weird feedback, Aaron, just so you know. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. I thank you that I was able to be at the Methodist Church this morning and share with them and share our hearts and share our love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, as we continue this series on God's Toolbox, I pray that you just help us discern the truth from your word. Speak to us through me, through your scripture, through the examples that we have. Lord, we are lead busy lives. We are busy people, Lord, and when we gather, it's to glorify you. It's not about us, it's about you. So, Lord, let this time this morning be a time of peace and respite. Just relax. Let the word just soak into our spirits, Lord. And, Father, just guide us. We love you. We say thank you. And all God's people said, amen. So we're in part three of this series on God's Toolbox. Part one was kind of the introduction to what we're doing. And I introduced 8 tools that are in the toolbox. Last week, we talked about salvation, which is the greatest gift and the greatest tool in the toolbox. If you aren't saved, it doesn't matter what we talk about. It just doesn't matter. Everything starts with salvation. So that's online. I posted it on our Facebook page or on our webpage if you want to go there and listen to it. But in the example of the tools, I was using an illustration of the hammers. And I talked about the different kinds of hammers, and there's hundreds of different kinds of hammers. And I pulled out the Stanley, you know, $3.50 hammer. And then I talked about the other one, the Stiletto. Oh my gosh, $499 on Amazon if you want to buy one. Titanium heads, interchangeable heads. It's crazy what they've got. Well, I have a couple more tools on here that I want to talk about, but I have an illustration I want to share with you about this. Today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the next most powerful tool, and the one that God gave us through his son Jesus when Jesus left. The deity of the Holy Spirit ought to be clearly recognized in scriptures. This is one of the priests back in the early church days, probably around the Nicene Creed time. and he called Gregory. He said, the deity of the Holy Spirit ought to be clearly recognized in scriptures. You ought to be able to pick this thing up and read throughout scriptures when God's talking about the Holy Spirit. It ought to be clear to us. Look at these facts. Christ is born. The Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized. The Spirit bears witness. Christ is tempted. The Spirit leads him up. Christ ascends. The Spirit takes his place. What great things are there in the character of God which are not found in the Spirit? What titles which belong to God are not also applied to him? He is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Mind of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, of truth, of liberty, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, of godliness, of the fear of God. This only begins to show how unlimited he is. Scriptures is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's from the beginning. It says we were together at the beginning. And it's remarkable how many places you can find the Holy Spirit talked about. So, but in that little illustration I showed you is the craziness of one of the things I introduced to the Methodist Church this morning when I was talking about my rules in class. I teach kids about tools and how to use the right tool for the job. And at the time that that was written, and at the time that the New Testament was written, there were some big battles going on spiritually in the religious world. The Jews were being held captive in many places. Rome had taken over, destroyed the temple. There were people, other sects, as you call it, S-E-C-T-E-S, denominations or groups of religious people that were combating and fighting with the Christians. People at that time were called the Way, the people of the Way. The Christian Gnostics, these are people who say they're Christians, but they were called also Gnostics. And the Gnostic faith are the people that believe that we're not physical, that we're just spiritual beings. And so when you talk about the Holy Spirit and you talk to a Gnostic, it doesn't compute because we're already spiritual. We're already a spirit. We're not physical. There's no physicality to us. So imagine talking to a group of people or have them come in and lead your worship or come in and give a message, and they're talking about this, that we're the Spirit. We're the Spirit-filled. Well, we are Spirit-filled. We know that when Pentecost happened in Acts and the Spirit came down as a fire upon people, the power came in. The power of the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift. Jesus left, and he gave us the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here. It's a gift to all of us. It's the second most powerful tool in God's toolbox. But there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. And depending on what denomination or belief you believe in, there's different interpretations of the power of the Holy Spirit and what that looks like and how it manifests itself in your as a believer. I believe this at a minimum. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. All of us get it. It's part of the transaction. It's part of the deal. Because when Jesus left physically and he ascended to heaven, he said, I'm leaving you a helper. And that Holy Spirit is here freely available to all of us. I'm going to use my tool analogy a little bit further. So I had to explain it to the Methodists and go backwards a little bit. But you guys, if you remember from last week, where you had different kinds of hammers. Well, this week I want to talk about wrenches. Now, these are little wrenches. I've got big, big wrenches, and I'm sure Cody and you guys would know when you're out on the combines. Lloyd, do you have some big wrenches on your equipment? How big is your biggest one? A couple feet? Oh, I was driving by a big semi-truck, and this guy had a wrench, a socket, on the trying to bust the nuts on the wheel, and he had an extender on it. It was like 5 feet long. So they come in all different sizes. Okay, so sorry if you can't see it. Does anybody know what this is? Crescent wrench? Crescent wrench. Was everybody wrong? This is a Stanley 6-inch adjustable wrench. Who went like that? Brenda? Did you get it? All right, ladies, all right. Crescent is the manufacturer's name. Crescent was the company that made these things, and they did such a good job. Everybody said, I want a Crescent wrench. So everybody knew, I want an adjustable wrench, but Crescent was the go-to. And for those of us that are old enough, remember Craftsman? You can still get them. You can buy them online. Sears sells them. But Craftsman was another brand name. Crescent was the manufacturer's name. But because people trusted them and they put a lot of trust in it, everybody says these are Crescent wrenches. I'm sorry? You can go on Jeopardy now. I share your winnings. Okay, this is an adjustable wrench. Okay, makes sense? It's for loosening bolts and nuts and whatever. But this is a tool. This is an adjustable wrench tool. And this is a 6-inch Stanley adjustable wrench. Yes, 150 millimeters. Okay, anyways. You can get them dime a dozen at Home Depot. Okay. What is this called?
Locking dull pliers.
Shh, Paul.
Sorry.
You gave it away. No.
It's a vice grip.
Vice grips, right? Guess what Vice Grips was? The company that created them. Linda, you just learned another new thing today. Vice Grips was the company that created a brand or a type. And they were so good that everybody said, I want Vice Grips. Give me Vice Grips. So, Cody, if I go to your workplace and I say, can I have the Vice Grips? Guess what? This is what I'm looking for. But what are they called, Paul?
Locking jaw pliers.
Locking pliers. There's also another name I learned. It's called a mole wrench. M-O-L-E, mole wrench. So what does that picture signify? Underground? Guess who uses these a lot? Plumbers. They hold the pipes while they're putting fittings on them, and they turn them, and that's what the teeth are for. So if I walked up and I said, Cody, I want an adjustable wrench that locks, what are you going to give me? Both. Put them together. There's actually guys online that modify tools like that on purpose just to come up with new stuff. There are hundreds of different types of wrenches. The sad thing is, unless you call it the right thing, you go to the hardware store and you say, can I have a pair of vice grips? Most people say, okay, I'll point you at these. But there's a lot of other brands. When I was at Home Depot, there's 8 different brands of these devices on the wall. And Vice Grip, guess what? It's the most expensive one. Why do you think that notoriety paid off? You pay for what you get. This one, this is the Stanley Crescent, is the brand name. And you're going to pay for it when you ask for a Crescent wrench. So why does that matter? Similarly speaking, the Holy Spirit, there's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit. I think just like the Crescent wrench and just like the adjustable wrench, a lot of people have good intentions, and I think they know what the Holy Spirit is. There's a lot of churches that have made it something more than it should be, but I don't know that they apply it correctly either. And I think one of the things your pastor, my role is to help you learn how to use the tools correctly. So let me go ahead and start, please. Next slide, Aaron. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it's our theme verse today. It's on your outline also. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now let's break this down a little bit. Jesus died on the cross. Acts takes place right after that period. Jesus walked the earth for about 40 to 50 days. And Pentecost happened. Pentecost is the day that Jesus ascended to heaven. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down. And that Holy Spirit took the appearance of fire and touched people's lives. It landed on the apostles. The apostles started speaking in tongues. They started speaking, and let me clarify that before we go too far down the path. They were speaking in languages that needed to be understood. They needed to share the gospel with people that were there in Jerusalem. Because remember, Passover had just happened in Jerusalem. There were people from all around the Middle East there in Jerusalem. You had people from Persia. You had people from Africa. You had people from all over the world. And not everybody spoke Jewish or Hebrew. Not everybody spoke Aramaic. But the Holy Spirit gave them the power to speak in the language of the people that were there present. And they shared the gospel. And when Peter spoke the powerful sermon that he did in Acts chapter 2, and at the end of Acts chapter 1, thousands of people gave their lives to Christ. Thousands of people's lives were moved. People were going, how do they know how to speak in my language? How's that happening? These guys are from here. These are fishermen from Jerusalem. How do they know my language? Imagine, you just came back from Ireland, right? They speak a little funny over there, don't they? A little funny? Could you understand everything that was said over there, Sarah?
No.
you have to have almost an interpreter, right? And then there's, besides the language part, there's also the things that are culturally important to them that we really don't understand, you know, what it means. Did you have any haggies when you were over there? You didn't go to Scotland, did you?
Yes, we did.
Did you have some?
Yes, one piece.
Does everybody understand what haggies are?
Haggis?
Haggis, yes. Ooh. Sheep intestines that are packed full of bits and pieces of the sheep and everything else that kind of goes in there.
It's broccoli was fried, but that made it better.
Probably seasoned deluxe. Just yeah, it's the bits and pieces that, again, at a time when people struggled for food, you ate what you had. And so it became a cultural thing. You try to sell that around here at McDonald's, that's not going to fly. There are cultural differences that need to be helpfully understood, and the power of the Holy Spirit broke down barriers. And people were amazed. You see that phrase in the book of Acts. People were amazed. But there's two things that come out of this verse. You will receive power. You will receive power. Remember I joked last week, the benefit of using power tools versus hand tools to build a house? You can build it with hand tools. One nail at a time. You know, you get the guns out there and you can fire it. Do you see how fast the buildings are going up 130, Lloyd? That shed, that she shed or whatever that thing is, that shed house thing, that's going up quick. And then the guy across the street now is building a pole barn. Those people work fast. You got the power tools, right? You work fast, you use the right tool for the job, things go smoothly. So the first one, you're going to receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then this, you will be my witnesses. What does that mean? You'll be my witnesses. So not only do you receive power from the Holy Spirit to discern things, thank you, sweetie, to not only discern things, but also get giftings. I don't want to make this sound too much. But I love my wife and I love what she does. And I love that our VBS is getting attention in the community around us. I love that our youth group is getting attention in the community around us because that's our reputation, people. Our ladies' luncheon gets recognition in the community. When you're doing ministry right and when you're using the power of the Holy Spirit, we're witnesses upon God. We give glory to God. That isn't about Pastor Rich. It's not about Carrie. It's about God and what he's doing through our lives. He's given us the power to do ministry in such a way that it gets people's attention. People notice and recognize the good things that we're doing. And the world is in need of hope. And without that hope, they're looking for answers. And that's what this is all about. You as a Christian are a witness. We talk about that when you talk about sharing your testimony. Who gives their testimony? Witnesses. Witnesses go on the stand and give their eyewitness testimony. We give a testimony on what God has done in our life and he's doing in our life every day. And for you guys that have the little ones running around, the ankle biters and the whatever you want to call them, the sock pullers or whatever the crawlers, the crumb crawlers, whatever you want to call them, those guys are watching us. Or maybe you just borrow them every now and then as grandma and grandpa or great-grandma and great-grandpa. Those kids are watching. They're learning from us. They're watching our behavior. They're watching our language. They better not be driving with me when I go to Champaign-Urbana. Not a good thing. That's a bad witness. But we do. We're witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, which is the northern area, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I was telling the Bible study this morning, when we were in Kentucky, we were in Somerset, Kentucky, and we're at a pretty good-sized church there, and I met a pastor. He was actually not a pastor at the time, but he was a missionary, and he had gone to Africa, and he had set up a partnership with some of the tribes there, and they have a great relationship. They're coming here, and he's going there, and just watch kids grow up and stuff. Well, there was a police officer in Somerset who just retired, and now he's got all his time in his hand. You know, police officers don't have enough things to do in their life, right? So he retired, and now he just went to this place. And there's pictures of an orphanage that they're building, and he's sweating and toiling in Africa, being a witness to the ends of the world. It's just not Hinesboro. It's not Illinois. It's not the United States. It could be anywhere. But sometimes we're called to our own backyards. Some of the most difficult mission fields are in our backyard. There are people in our backyard that need to know about Jesus. We don't need to go to Papua New Guinea if God's not calling you to Papua New Guinea. He's not calling you to the Congo if that's not where he's calling you. Don't go there. Listen to the Holy Spirit so you can be a witness to the world. So, Aaron, next slide, please. So if you look at your outline, the next thing that we're going to come up with is what I'm saying is the five names of the Holy Spirit. This is a wrench, Paul, right? It's an adjustable wrench. It's a 6-inch Stanley adjustable wrench. And if you call Home Depot, they'll tell you how many they have in stock. Exactly. They'll know exactly what you're looking for. As a teacher of scriptures and a teacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it behooves me to teach you the correct Holy Spirit, not the Gnostic thing, not the green burrito that maybe you ate the night before and it's moving your spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. That's what we need to learn. And so I want to give you the five names. There's lots of names. That illustration I rattled off had a bunch of names. But let me give you the top five. Number one, in 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it says this, "For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." The first name is author of Scripture. Go ahead and put it up, Aaron. Author of Scripture. It came from the Holy Spirit. When we talk about people and they go, "Where did the Bible come from?" Roger, what would you tell people? If somebody walked up to you and said, "I don't know anything about Jesus, but what is it? Where did this come from?" God, through the Holy Spirit. We were, the Spirit, I would say compelled is probably a good verb, people to write this. They shared the truth. The truth was revealed to man, and people wrote this, men and women wrote this. Eyewitnesses, they wrote it down, and the Holy Spirit told them what to do. Author of Scripture, number one. Number two, it's in John 14:15. It says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever." I love this one. Comforter and counselor. Our Holy Spirit comforts us. Our Holy Spirit counsels us. When you need help, you need advice, you need directions, you need discernment, that's what the Holy Spirit will provide. The Holy Spirit, the first one, the word comforter. Has anybody in here ever had a rough time, rocky time, and you felt like you're in the white waters of rapids and it was uncomfortable? Sometimes you need somebody to come along and put your arm around you or to pray with you or just acknowledge that you're struggling. Sometimes we need to sit down and shut up. We don't need to lead with this. We need to lead with our heart. This comforter thing, think of Jesus and how he comforted people. He didn't go banging them over the head with what they did wrong and how imperfect they were. Of course, we're all sinners. Of course, people make mistakes. But he showed how much he cared and how much he loved them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Through God. And again, this is the Spirit of God. This is God's personality. This is God's style. This is the witness. We ought to be witnessing this comfort and counselor role. People will come up, JD, you carry the title head elder, lead elder here. People will come up with questions. They want to know some answers. We need to be ready to share who's this Holy Spirit guy and what is their purpose. What does that mean to be a comforter, a counselor? Number three, it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says this, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. This gives us the next title, which is Spirit of Life. Before Jesus and before salvation, we're dead. But because of what Jesus did, we have life. So this Spirit of Life, Jesus gave us the Helper to help us. He knew that we were going to be facing struggles. He knew that we're going to be facing hard times. He knew that we needed help. So this Spirit of Life is our helper. We're no longer dead. We're no longer dead to the trespasses of sin, but we have life. Number four, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, His is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. How many of you have ever picked up the Bible and read it, and read a scripture or a verse or a book, gotten a picture in your mind, put the Bible down, come back to it at some time in the future, and reread that same thing, and go, where did I miss that? Where did that come from? Did I miss that? I believe this. God reveals truths to us at times in our life and seasons when we need to know things. And sometimes he puts it up, he amps it up, he ramps it up and amps it up, and then he gives it on steroids. Sometimes there's some hard truths in here. The other side of this argument or discussion is we're not ready for the full revelation of the truth spiritually. It talks about in the Bible about feeding children T-bone steaks? No?
Nope.
What do you feed them, Paul? Thank you. You give them milk. You give them... Alex, you ever tried that baby food stuff? Did you pop open a jar and suck some applesauce down or pears or pureed peas? So that's good for them, right? They transition from milk and move on up and they get to solids. I wouldn't go backwards, except for applesauce. I like applesauce. I think that's kind of like a carryover for us. But so that word world peace thing, just, you know, it takes a little leap of faith there. The Spirit of Life, right here in Romans 8:2 and also in 1 Corinthians, it talks about spiritual realities, spiritual realities. And this one, this word that comes to mind, number four, is teaching. The Spirit teaches us the truth. It opens up, Kenny, you can read a scripture, Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So who strengthens me? God. But it says, I can do all things through him, not me. I can't tell you how I must have read that bunches of times. People are saying, you got to pray over that promise, pray over that promise, pray over that promise. And then one day I was sitting there somewhere, I don't remember where it was, and it was like, bing, the light bulb went on. You see, I was trying to do everything in my power. I was trying to do everything I wanted to do. And when you read that verse, you go, oh, it's God's will. It's in his power. That changed everything. Instead of me trying to solve all the problems and me trying to figure everything out, I gave it to the Lord. Spiritual revelation, spiritual truth, the teacher. And as a teacher myself, professionally, I love to see the light bulbs go on. I humorously talk about these wrenches and joke that we all get it wrong because I'm the same way. I call this a vice grips. And I teach my kids, you got to know the tools. You got to use the right tool for the job, and I'm calling them the wrong thing. But in reality, as a teacher, I know better. And when we learn something as Christians, what are we supposed to do with what we learn? Bury it in the backyard? We're to implement it, use it, do something with it. These tools, the Holy Spirit is intended to be used. We don't We don't bury the Holy Spirit in the backyard. We don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That's another big word that's in the scriptures. But we don't belittle it. We don't hide it. And as a teacher, we go to the Holy Spirit and ask for, teach me this. Teach me the truth. Open this up. I also have gone to scriptures. And Deuteronomy, the dietary laws. You want to talk about a snooze fest? Put you right to sleep. But there's a purpose behind the truths. And for the longest time, I read that and read that and read that. And I just, okay, Deuteronomy's there in the Bible. You know, I can answer the Jeopardy questions about what Deuteronomy is and the law and the dietary laws and the sexual purity laws. I get all that. It's Moses explaining the law. But why was that important? Why is that important even today to me? Until the Holy Spirit reveals. We're going to have a study on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to come. It's on the book of Daniel. Now, some people look at the book of Daniel and go, oh, prophecy, because there's end time stuff. And that's a part of it. But the book of Daniel is really about a faithful servant who followed what God told him to do, and he was obedient. And so if you want to learn about obedience and you want to learn about listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to God's leading, come and join our study. It's going to be a great time. So number four was teacher. Number five is in Romans 8:16, and it says this, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We sing about this. We have songs that we are the children of God. We call God the Father. We call each other brothers and sisters. I call you my family. I love our church family. We're a great church, people. We're a powerful church. We're a God-breathing church. We're a God-fearing church. I love serving here. Romans 8:16 says that we're to be a witness. When again, I don't want to keep harping on this, but I love to hear that our missions and our ministry are having an impact. When you know, we do the garage sales. Brenda does the garage sale. She's like the guru. But when we can bless the missionaries up in U of I, that's incredible. Or Paul, when you say, let's go get some soap. Let's go have some soap. Let's go help the prison ministry. Or Matt McGregor, sitting on the bench right there, the pew right there, are contributions from people in our church. So Matt asked, if you want to go, he can still take you. If you can help financially, he'll take that. I would probably surmise cash, if you want to. We can get that to them. It's going to be a serving opportunity with a couple churches in North Carolina. They're going to be doing some mass feeding, so it's going to be labors of love and cleanup. And he's also asked for donations of food stuff. So there's a list. We put it on our Facebook page if you want to see it, or I can shoot you the text. Brenda, I don't have the list in front of me. Do you remember?
There's a list on the piano.
A list on the piano? Thank you. Did you do this, Brenda? Thank you. Laundry detergent, dish detergent, paper towels, shampoo, conditioner, men's deodorant, mac and cheese, spaghetti sauce, ravioli, canned food for kids, the small stuff, you know, the incidental stuff, and then financial contributions. So they're taking a van or a truck or a trailer. We're called to be witnesses, people. When Matt called me up and said, Rich, can you do this? And I said, I'll let our people know. Let's see what God does. It's not about getting Hinesboro Christian Church's name out there. It's about giving God the glory. There are people with real needs still in North Carolina that our government has dropped, our communities have dropped, our culture has dropped. But God still sees them. God knows they have needs. And there, it could be moving on your heart right now. The Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit says, here's an itch, go itch it. Go take care of it. And that's how we're to be witnesses. It's not claiming the glory. It's giving God the glory. Five names. There's more in the Bible, please. That's not the exclusive, exhaustive list. Now, next slide, Aaron. Not only are there names, as a teacher, guess what I do, Laura Kay? I teach. Okay, so some of those names are functions. here's a couple more things that the Holy Spirit does. First one, he's called the Helper. In John 14:26, the Helper. Jesus says, I'm going to send you a helper. Do you know how comforting it is to know that we're not lone rangers here? We have people with us. We have the Holy Spirit helping us. Right there with us, through the thick and thin. Next one, Romans 8:26. Here's a big church word, intercessor. Now, typically, there's two ways to do this. The Holy Spirit can put a person or a situation on your heart, and it's like you're being compelled to pray. You just feel called to pray. That's intercessory. You're interceding. But the Holy Spirit is also an intercessor on your behalf. When we die and go to heaven, and we stand in front of the judgment throne, which everybody will go, not just if you're a believer, but a non-believer, and we're going to be standing in front of the judgment throne, when God looks at us, guess what? Who do you think he's going to be seeing? Pastor Rich in his salmon-colored shirt? No. He's going to see Jesus. The Holy Spirit is interceding on our behalf with God. What's the old saying? Don't tempt God. Well, I also don't want to provoke God. And as a believer, when we sin and we fall short of the glory of God, we're almost provoking God. Fortunately, all sins past, present, and future have been absolved and resolved, but that doesn't mean we're not going to be held accountable. Doesn't mean we're not going to be held accountable. When you stand up in front of God, the Holy Spirit's there interceding on your behalf, and God sees Jesus, the white robes of Jesus. His blood has cleansed us from our sins. No longer are we recognized by our sins. God calls us by our name. So the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. He's interceding on our behalf. The next role, in 1 Corinthians 12:4. I love this. That whole chapter written by Paul speaks to my sweet spot. As an administrative type person, as a teacher, I love to teach you about your giftings. I love to help you discover your giftings. You've heard me talk about this. Some have the gift of administration, some have the gift of teaching, some have the gift of administration, some have the gift of prophecy, some have the gift of giving, some have the whatever, hospitality, intercessory prayer. Everybody has a calling. We are the body of believers. Not everybody can be the elbows or can be the hands or the feet. Everybody has a role to play. I've been blessed. I can't believe not doing or trying to do ministry without Carrie at my side. I remember telling her, I said, yeah, I think one day I want to be maybe a pastor, a lead pastor, or a pastor at a church, maybe an executive pastor. And Carrie goes, well, cool, I want to do children's ministry. I went, there's our team. And then we got the kids, and the kids filled the team. They were actually our first children's ministry effort, you know. And it just, God is blessing it. But it's a partnership. God has given us gifts to work on his behalf. What do we do? What happens when we take our talent? Roger, do you remember the parable about the talents? The three guys? One went out and doubled it and tripled it. Second one went out and did the same thing. But what did the third person do? The third one who was scared and nervous about using their talents. What happened? He buried it in the backyard. He was afraid. He was afraid. And so the parable talks to us about what happens when we're afraid to use our gifts. You have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. You have a gift. We all have gifts. Let me help you find it. Let's launch you. Let's set you free. I love watching the light bulb go off, but I love seeing you use your power tools. Let me ask it this way. Have you ever seen anybody in work or jobs, or maybe just your experience somewhere out in the community, and you can tell that they aren't qualified at what they do? And sometimes they get promoted and they go all the way up the food chain, but they shouldn't be in the position they're in. Part of this, that happens in the church. You're a warm, breathing body, And somebody says, oh, you're going to go work with the kindergartners. What? You're chuckling and laughing. Like I said, I'd bring in the Velcro and the duct tape. Sure, I'll take care of those kids. You come down, pick your kids up, and they're all taped to the wall. That's my world. She's going, I would never do that to our kids. However, you know, I've seen people who are administrative people just blow through spreadsheets and financials, do the taxes. It's incredible to see people when they're in their giftedness. Nancy, bragging on you a little bit, went down to there and talked to the Methodist this morning. And I talked about how the kids loved your station because of all the goodies and the snacks. They loved it because that's your gifting. It's your creativeness. Di, well, she's downstairs. She made stuff. Brenda, did you have any fun? Were you in your giftings? Leading those kids around? Okay. Lord K, kids are requesting to be on your team. Why? Are you bribing them or something? They love you because they can see your heart, Laura Kay. Same thing in your calling, Nancy, same thing. They see it. The gift of the Holy Spirit given to us freely by God when we accepted Christ is a gift giver in himself. Every one of you has a gift. Next. John 16:8. Ooh, I made up a word. This is not biblical, or I don't even think you find it gets on the PowerPoint. There's a red line underneath there because it's trying to help you figure spell check. Convictor. How many of you, when you're making a decision in life and you're going to do something, and you get that little voice or that grumbling in your tummy, I don't think I ought to do this. I don't think that's the right thing. I don't think that's what God wants me to do. I don't think that's the best choice. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's discernment. That's a part of discernment. Discernment is simply saying, Linda, I know the difference between right and wrong. And that conviction that comes when we make the wrong choice is a way of correcting us. It's a way of teaching us. It's a way of disciplining us. Sometimes, when it's blatant, this can be pretty heavy duty. The number of pastors that have fallen because of improper relationships or whatever, they've taken their eyes off the ball. They've either let their heads get too big or they just let sin in. The Holy Spirit will convict us. Now, the purpose of that, of conviction, is to right your relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is prompting you to, kind of like herding cats, go this way. Repent. Fix your relationship with God. That's what conviction is all about. And the Holy Spirit's good at it. Lastly, I like this one. Made up phrase, I don't know. Wisdom provider. Anybody in here need a little wisdom? Yep. Every one of us. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is not on itself knowledge. It's how to apply what you know and what you've learned. I teach safety and tools and equipment and technology. Wisdom is knowing there's electricity in that wire. Or excuse me, knowledge is there. I know that. Kenny, there's wire power in there, right? It's got some amperage in there. That's the part that kills you, right? Wisdom is I don't take a pair of cutters and cut through a live circuit, right? Because what will happen?
You'll find out.
He said, you'll find out. Wisdom is the knowledge of what to do with the stuff that you've learned. We learn a lot of stuff here in the church. We learn a lot of stuff in life. We learn a lot of stuff in our small groups. We learn a lot from our circumstances. And in this room is a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom. And when we pray and we ask for help and we ask for guidance, when we ask for other people to pray for us, in many ways, that's God's way of sharing the wisdom. You hear about something and you pray about it. You go, hey, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I can help. Or I'm interested in that, or I think I can help. It's a challenge. The Holy Spirit challenges us to use what we've learned to help the kingdom. There's names of the Holy Spirit. There's roles of the Holy Spirit. These are not vice grips. So if you go on Jeopardy, Linda, and you win $5,000 because you answered that correctly, we're sharing it, kiddo, okay? Just please know that. That's wisdom right there. Let's go to the closing. D.L. Moody said this, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, let's just stop right there. Pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law. If we were able to scrub these things out of our lives, D.L. Moody is saying, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we're full of pride and conceit and ambition in the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. We must be emptied before we can be filled. If you feel like your spirit is being emptied of the past or the circumstances you're facing, that might be a good thing. Maybe we need to get rid of stuff. Maybe we need to let go of some things. Maybe we need to begin some new practices. And God's helping us empty ourselves so that something better can fill it. Here's your challenge this week. John 16:13 says this, let the Spirit guide you today. Let the Spirit guide you today. And it says the word let. It's a choice. Every one of us has a choice. Every one of us has the option. And I love the word guide. Think of people pay a lot of money for guides. Anybody ever been on a guided tour? You pay for that. When we were in Israel, we had a tour guide. And we got the front of the line. We got moved over here and taken over here. You paid for that. The purpose of that guide is to take you to the places you need to go right away, quickly. Let the Holy Spirit guide you today. Let's pray. Father, as we explore this toolbox that you have presented us with, the multiple tools and things that scripturally were, maybe for some of us, we've never really explored before. Father, I pray that we can just spend time and learn and go deep on these things and be ready to share the good news with people. I mean, do people really care about the Holy Spirit? Do they even understand? We ought to. We ought to be able to explain it. We ought to be able to explain the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Maybe that's a hard concept to understand. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it's all three separate people, and all three of them are essential to our faith walk. Father, we're blessed. We are blessed as a church, as a community, as a country. Lord, there's troubles in our word. There's people that need hope. Father, please, I just beg you, please, let us be able to be your witnesses into the all ends of the world. Guide us to work for you on your behalf. Let us serve faithfully and obediently and put you first in our lives. Lord, we love you. We say thank you. And all God's people said, amen.